The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Well, having finished with two of the four books that constitute what we're calling the heart of the gospel, Galatians and Colossians, and if you didn't get those, you can go to our website and listen to them online. If you have a computer, or download them to your iPod, Stan. And the elders were meeting, we thought it would be best to take a couple of weeks, talk about something that we need to be reminded of from time to time, to hold it in front of us, and that is, what are we doing here anyway? Why are we gathering ourselves together every week? Why do we do the things that we do? Why are we engaged in missions here on the home front and in cross-cultural settings? Why do we do kids club? Why do we do what we do as a church? And so this morning I'm going to be talking about our vision and mission statement. And next week, we'll be talking about living in the good of the gospel daily. And so you don't want to miss these this morning and next week. And over the past few months, we've been looking at, as your leaders, who we are as a church, what we're doing. And that's something that's necessary for us to do so that we are sure that we're on track with what we're supposed to do. And we felt that we needed a clearer, a more concise statement of purpose that can be, you know, readily articulated by anybody who comes here more than two or three times. You know, without a clear stated purpose and adherence to that, we run the risk of devolving into nothing more than a social, Christian social club that meets for mutual encouragement and fun, focusing all of our energy on ourselves. What we're not saying when we're looking at our current mission statement is that the current one is bad, or that it leaves the wrong impression somehow, or that it's misleading in some way. What we are saying is that we don't know that any of you who are regular attenders here could, when asked, whip out the mission statement of the church. Anyone? Do I have any takers on that one? Oh, Stan. Well, that's great. It's just not what it says in our Constitution. Some of you have actually read the Constitution. Some of you have gotten copies of it, as anyone who's been in a member here has certainly gotten a copy. You've probably lost it. It's sitting buried somewhere. And in that Constitution, in the bylaws of who we are, there's a statement in there, a statement of purpose that constitutes our vision and mission. And this is how it reads. The mission of Summit Christian Fellowship is to exalt Jesus Christ and obey His great commission. We want to love people, inviting them into harmony with God and one another through worship, fellowship, discipleship, and evangelism. Next. Our vision is to simply follow the example of Jesus and love people, encouraging them into friendship with Christ, freedom in Christ, and fruitfulness for Christ. We are committed to win people to Christ, build them up in Christ, and equip the saints for a life of service to Christ. There it is. And it's long, and it's complicated. It's not easily memorable. And, you know, those are things we endorse and buy into. We're not saying any of that's bad. That's not the message. Our primary purpose as a church is to glorify God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to move out into the community and share that So we've been looking at who we are and why we're here. We want to say that in a way that's memorable and concise, so that all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, from the quickest to the slowest, would be able to carry this within them and give a clear one-sentence answer to that question, one that captures the essence of our command, the command we have to love God supremely and love our neighbor as ourself, and to go and make disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission, to spread that love to others. So here it is. Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel to all people. It's just one sentence, easily memorized, concise, and to the point. But there's also a wealth of meaning behind each of those things. And that's what I'd like to do this morning, is unpack that. What does it mean to, when we say delight in God, to delight in God through Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Spreading His joy through the gospel to all peoples. It's like the chapter selection page in a book. They're chapter headings, and under each of those chapters, there's a wealth of stuff that is the foundation. There's a whole body of work that statement rests on, and so let's look at that this morning. Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God. What does that mean? To delight in God. One of the elements we realized that was missing from our mission statement was the whole idea of joy in God. Jesus Himself tells us that one of the reasons He came was to fill us with joy. We read that this morning, John 15:11. Look at it. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So this is why I'm telling you this stuff, that my joy would be in you, and that your joy would be full. The Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession says that the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. Or as John Piper puts it, the Westminster Confession says, and enjoy Him forever. John Piper changes that a little bit and says, by enjoying Him forever. Both come together in the same way. That is, the best and highest glory God receives from His creation is when their souls are made happy in Him. That's what we mean when we say Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God. That God gets the highest glory when we're the most satisfied in Him. You know, too often Christian duty has been seen as dull and boring and tedious. I like C.S. Lewis's comment to his friend in a letter. He says, "It is a Christian duty, as you know, for everyone to be as happy as he can." It's a different way of looking at this. But too often we have the caricature of the joyless, mean-spirited, sort of narrow-minded, bent Christian that's, you know, the staple of many films and books. You've seen them. They just look joyless. And a caricature of God who sits in the heavens waiting for us to mess up so He can zap us. A lot of people have that picture. And so we wanted to sort of explode that myth by building into who we are and what we're about the idea of delighting in God, because that's where He gets the highest glory and the greatest praise. We bought into this idea because the idea that Christians in many places have bought into the idea that, or pagans and unbelievers, that Christianity is somehow joyless, somehow unfun. And that's because we somehow suspect that anything that makes us happy is a little bit off, a little bit suspect. It's a philosophy that's even crept into the church. It says the moral value of an act decreases as we intend to derive any benefit from it. Or to say it another way, actions are good if the actor is not trying to gain anything from it. We should do the good because it is good. And I think that's too much of our so-called happiness, our running after happiness, has had to do with satisfying our legitimate desires that God gave us by illegitimate means. And so when C.S. Lewis says it's a Christian duty for everyone to be as happy as he can, he doesn't mean by illegitimate means, but rather by making yourself happy in God. God built us in such a way that to run after happiness is part of who we are. There isn't something sort of sinister about this. God built the desire for joy and happiness right in. Blaise Pascal, great thinker in earlier times, was simply recognizing the divine design when he said, "All men seek happiness without exception. They all aim at this goal, however different the means they use to attain it. They will never make the smallest move but with this as its goal. This is the motive of all the actions of all men, even those who contemplate suicide, because they think they'll be happier once they're gone." Don't get me wrong, though. I'm not saying that joy and happiness is the goal. Please don't hear that this morning. God is the goal. And pursuing God will result in our greatest joy and our lasting happiness. That's what I'm saying. Delighting in God means that we who are His church live in such a way that all of our life, all our living, all our dying, trumpet the greatness of God through our enjoyment of Him. That's what it means. We enjoy God in such a way as to demonstrate the triumph of God over sin and death and the world and the devil and hell. It means that the testimony of our joy-filled, grace-proving lives becomes a testimony, a demonstration of God's incredible mercy and infinite grace in this world. That's what it means when we say Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God. Through Jesus Christ. That's the next phrase we added. Because God is the author of saving grace, which comes to us only through one means, that is, through His Son, Jesus. True joy, true peace, fulfillment can only come as we're rightly related to Christ. And that's the crucial question. Are you rightly related to Christ? That's a question that we need to be asking everybody we meet. And not letting the conversation devolve into chit-chat about the weather or sports or whatever. Because the burning need of every man, woman, and child is a relationship with God's Son, Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "For there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You feel the impact of that verse. There is no other name. Somehow, we've got to get the name out. "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Do you understand the narrowness of that verse, of that word? The exclusivity of what the Bible's telling us. Are you willing to proclaim that in the world? stand in the face of this PC tolerant society and say, Jesus is the only way. You can't get saved any other way. In today's society, that doesn't sit very well, because we're told that people can come to God pretty much any way they choose. And we're told that not only by secularists and New Age people, we're also told that by people supposedly Christians. That, well, we understand the gospel in a new way now. The Bible doesn't mince any words. There's only one person. There's no one else. There's no other name under heaven by which men may be saved. Because God dwells, the Bible says, in unapproachable light. And no one has ever seen Him. And the Gospel of John tells us, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. That's why it's through Jesus Christ. You can't know Him or enjoy Him. The only way to know God, to delight in God, is through Christ. Peter tells us that the way to delight in God is to delight in His Son. 1 Peter 1:8-9. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. This is why we say we delight in God through Jesus Christ. So you got that much of it down. Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God through Jesus Christ. Spreading His joy. You know, since our greatest joy flows from delighting ourselves in God, it's a natural consequence that that joy is spread and shared by others. How many of you like to watch a really good movie by yourself? I didn't. Well, you're an exception. We'll have to have some counseling afterwards. Most of us don't like to watch a really good movie by ourselves. Why? We want to share the joy. Right? We want to share the experience. And if your life has been impacted by Jesus, there's a burning need within you to share that with someone else, to spread His joy with others. Joy in God is, I think, the ultimate impetus for missions. And the best motivation, joy in God. We don't share Christ, first of all, because people are sinners. We don't share Christ, first of all, because people need to hear this. We don't share Christ, first of all, because they're lost and going to hell. First of all, it's like the man found a treasure in a field and for the joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. That's why we spread His joy, because we've been made joyful. Max Lucado. And I've shared this story before, but it impacts me every time I come across it. Share a story about a man named Robert Reed. And over his life is this banner that says, I have everything I need for joy. That was the statement that caught Max Lucado's eye, or ears. And this is how he describes him. Robert Reed's hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his underwear. His shirts are held together by strips of Velcro. His speech drags like a worn-out audio cassette. Robert has cerebral palsy. This disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, going for a walk, doing the normal things that we all take for granted. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at a St. Louis junior college or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And it didn't keep him from becoming a missionary eventually in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972. He rented a hotel room, began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. Then he stationed himself daily in the park where he distributed brochures about Christ. Within 6 years, he had led 70 people to the Lord, one of whom became his wife, Rosa. And Max writes about hearing him speak for the first time. He says, I watched other men carry him in his wheelchair onto the platform. I watched them lay a Bible in his hands. I watched his stiff fingers force open the pages. And I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration from their faces. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and boasted, I have everything I need for joy. And he said, Robert's shirts are held together with Velcro, but his life is held together with joy. This is why we say Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading his joy. I want that to be a hallmark of who we are. That we're a congregation known for spreading his joy. Real joy, lasting joy. Through the gospel. It's the next little phrase. Summit Christian Fellowship existed, delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading his joy through the gospel. It's through the gospel that people come to Christ and enter into the joy of the Lord. Paul tells us in Romans that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's what he wrote in Romans 1:16. Is the verse up there? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. We need to hold that, to soak that in. Jesus told his disciples when they asked, what are the signs of your return? Essentially, they were saying, when is our mission over here? When's this thing done? And he told them that the gospel would wrap it all up. He says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Our mission is over. We'll have no more need for a mission statement when this happens. When the gospel's been proclaimed to every tribe and nation and made known to every tongue and people on the face of the earth. That's why we major on the gospel here at Summit. That's why we're teaching through the heart of the gospel. That's why next Sunday we're going to be talking about living daily in the good of the gospel. It's why we promote missions on the home front and cross-cultural missions abroad. It's why we pray for open doors and gospel clarity at home and abroad. It's why we teach that we've been commissioned by God to spend our lives making others eternally glad in Him through the gospel. Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel. You got it? Finally, to all people. The book of Acts makes it clear that what our mission is about. Acts 1:8. We heard this a few weeks ago from Ben. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit is for fulfilling the mission of the gospel. And the mission is to our neighborhoods, to our communities, to the remotest parts of the earth. We need to let that grab us. Sure, we think about our neighborhoods and communities. Some of us, however, don't think about them that much. And it's even a further stretch to think about the remotest parts of the earth and leave that to somebody else. And my challenge to you is, why? Why assume that somebody else is going to the remotest parts of the earth and you've not been called? Jesus didn't make any distinctions among the disciples. He gave the commission to them all. My witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Don't just sort of default to the idea that somebody else is going there. Well, we believe that we are called as Christ's ambassadors to carry the message of His saving grace to all people everywhere. Do you believe that? That's one of the things we feel strongly about. We believe that the gospel is relevant for all people in every culture at every time. We do the gospel a disservice. We dim the glory of God by trying to make it relevant somehow. Because in our efforts to make it relevant, we miss the essence of the gospel. I've seen it too many times. I want you to know that we believe the Bible teaches the gospel is relevant for every person under the sun today, just as it was yesterday and the day before, and it will be tomorrow and the next day. And it isn't about how you present it. It's about the power of the gospel itself, being the power of God unto salvation. And so we just let the gospel go and let it do its work. We believe that God has also blessed us so that the nations might be glad in God and sing for joy. That's what Psalm 67 says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your saving power among all nations. It goes on to talk about them singing praises to Him. We believe that our joy and delight in God brings Him the most glory, and that our joy-filled, grace-proving lives are meant to be a demonstration of that joy to the nations, and to somehow ignite their hearts to be glad in God as well. So, Summit Christian Fellowship exists to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel to all people. Easily memorable. In fact, you just say it to yourself a few times and it just sort of feels good. So what does this do for us? What good is it to have a mission statement that we can all remember and recite when someone asks us, well, what do you do at Summit? Well, we exist to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel to all people. Well, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. The best thing it does is help us focus laser-like on the things that help us fulfill that mission. If we don't have a clear idea of where we're going, what we're about, we tend to veer off course. Chuck Swindoll tells a story. One man related of his experience with the church that sailed way off course. And this guy wrote and said, "When I lived in Atlanta several years ago, I noticed in the Yellow Pages in the listing of restaurants an entry for a place called the Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused my curiosity, and I dialed the number. A man answered with a cheery, 'Hello, Church of God Grill. What can I do for you?' I asked, 'How did you get such an unusual name?' And he says, 'Well, that's a... got a little story about that.' He says, 'We had a little church down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the rent for the building. Well, the people really loved the chicken, and we did such a good business that we kind of cut back on the services and expanded the restaurant. After a while, we just closed the church down altogether and kept serving chicken dinners. We just thought we'd keep the name because it was kind of catchy. Well, they got a little off course. I don't think they had a real mission statement. And this is one of the things that knowing and buying into and rehearsing among ourselves a statement of purpose will help us do. It'll help keep you on course. It'll help correct your wandering. It will help you prioritize what's important in your life. Everything we do here at Summit has to be seen through this mission statement so we don't get off course. And so we ask ourselves, you know, how do we do home fellowships? How do we do kids club? How do we do women's Bible studies, men's studies? How does that fit into delighting ourselves in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel to all peoples? How does that stuff fit? How does supporting pastoral development in Kenya through API, how does that fit in this frame? I was going to share this next Sunday, but one of the things that fit into this statement, we as a church support the executive team of API. We also are our main mission as a church to API is pastoral development and support. And when I was there in November, I simply asked the pastors, what can we as a church do to help you in the gospel and help you in your churches? And the first thing he said was, pray for us. I was sitting down in Maasai land with some Maasai pastors. First time I ever met these guys. Wonderful men, just on fire for God. And he said, pray for us. We need lots of prayer. And we need bikes. You have to go to Kenya to really understand that statement. Here, bikes are pretty much recreational. Over there, it's a way of life. If you don't have a bike, you walk. Some of these guys, there's one pastor that walks 6 hours to his church. That's a common story. And so they said, we really could use some bikes. Well, bikes cost anywhere from $100 to $150. For us, it's like, that's not much. Well, for them, if you make less than a dollar a day, saving up for a bike could take quite a while. And so they said, we'd really like some bikes. And so one of the things we want to do is provide them with some bikes. And what that means is that we will collect money for bikes, $100, $150 for a bike, and we'll take that money over, buy the bikes there, and supply the ministry. And that just kind of excites my soul, to know that we're helping spread the kingdom in Kenya through just a simple thing like bikes, so that they can get around. These guys are dedicated men who walk from village to village because all of their congregations don't come from the same village, sharing the gospel and having fellowship with their congregations. And so we're going to probably have one Sunday in the next 2 months that we're going to call you to contribute toward buying some bikes. And the reason we're buying them over there is because when they break down, and bikes do break down, they have the parts to repair them over there. And they have good bikes as well. And so in our mission to delight in God through Jesus Christ, spreading His joy through the gospel for all people, this fits that grid. And so we're doing that. And we want to think of all of our ministry in terms of how does it fit what we've said our goal is. You know, it'll, knowing this, living this, will make the difference between you being merely an advocate and a witness. How many want to be advocates? Good. You were here, heard the message. How many want to be witnesses? Amen. Well, Joe's going to come. We're going to sing a hymn, and then we're going to close. And I want you to think about this mission statement. I want you to get it in your minds and think through what that means for you as well. Let's stand as we sing, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.